in the book of Genesis, chapter 16, and also in Galatians, chapter 4. And no, I haven't forgot our study in the Epistle of Jude. I didn't feel impressed of the Spirit to try to deal with it last night, neither tonight. I've been studying there in Jude, and we'll get back to that. There's some things I want to show you there, but we'll do that as the Lord wills. This message tonight, actually about 20 minutes after 3 this morning, but all this come together. And I guess it seemed like for an hour or longer, God just dealt with my heart. Maybe it won't take an hour to preach it. Don't nobody get nervous now. But I just felt the Lord in such a sweet way. And I trust that this will be a help to your walk of faith tonight. Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16, verse 1. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. Quickly over in Galatians chapter number 4, Galatians 4 and verse 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise, which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth in Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be the heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. If the Lord would stand by me tonight, I would like to try to preach what I'm calling When Faith Falters. When faith falters. It's very ironic, isn't it, that Abraham, whom we call the father of faith, and we, of course, read in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 in regard to his faith, and also in Romans chapter 4, which we will refer to later, he was a man that had great faith, but because of his great faith, it seems that even though rather he had great faith, at times he faltered in his faith, and we see significant failures that are in his life. Namely, of course, with the Egyptian woman Hagar. And we know of how that we believe, of course, the reason that Hagar came into the life of Abraham and Sarah was when famine came into the land of Canaan. And we could read that in previous scriptures and of how that it was then that Abraham sojourned down into the land of Egypt. And historians believe that it was while they sojourned in Egypt that he gained his wife Sarah, this handmaid by name of Hagar. And so you see, it was against the will of God for him to ever gone to Egypt, because God sent him into the land of promise. And many times you and I, if you will remember, I preached one time years ago, it seems like we live in this dance of circumstance, of how that we're constantly allowing ourselves to run here and run there and do this and do another. And because of circumstances, we find our lives crowding us. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves out of the will of God and out of the plan of God. This is what happens here again in Genesis chapter 16. You see the story. And by the way, for you Bible readers, if you've never noticed, this is the first time recorded in Scripture of where that there was domestic strife in a home. This is the first time that you will ever see strife between a husband and a wife. And you also notice in chapter number 16 that the voice of God is silent to Abraham and Sarah. Nowhere in chapter 16 do you read that God spoke to Abraham and Sarah. And so that poses a question to us. How do we react when God is silent? How do we respond when it seems like our prayers go unanswered? How do we respond during those silent days? How do we act during those silent weeks, or even perchance those silent months, when it seemed like we've laid our petition before God and there is no answer? Or maybe perhaps you're in the plight of Abraham, of where God has given unto Abraham a promise, but it seemed like the promise will not come. You know, I wish that you and I could learn that wait means exactly that. Wouldn't it be so good in your life and mine if all of us could learn that wait means just simply that? God wants us to wait. Well, the enemy is trying to brew domestic strife in Abram's home. He's trying to brew strife between Abram and Sarah. And of course, we see the ingredients here in this brewing of strife. Abram wants a son. However, his wife, Sarah, she realizes that she is unable to bear her husband a son. And so here you couple his desire with her inability. And then right in the middle of the witch's brew, you put an attractive slave girl. And then you have the devil offering insinuations, telling them that perchance it'd be all right to do it. You see, friend, it's very easy many times in life for us to allow the devil to put worldly reasoning and carnal resolve into the situation, and you never get the right answer. All you get is an entanglement, and all you get is a tangled web. Amen. And this that I read to you here in Genesis chapter 16 transpired some 4,000 plus years ago. Amen. But because of this mistake, and because this man of faith allowed his faith to falter, he created an entanglement. Amen. He tangled and twisted such a snarled web that 4,000 years have not been able to unravel it. And they're still fighting over in the Middle East. They're still fighting over there because of the rivalry that we will see between the generations, amen, of Ishmael and also the descendants of Isaac. I want to preach to you, my friend, we never realize how far-reaching our mistakes will be. We never realize how far-reaching our failure will be. Oh, God, guide our steps, amen, and keep us along the way, lest our feet slide and those that follow after us be led astray. Would the church say amen? I want you to see three things with me here in this narrative in Genesis 16. First of all, confusion because of a double mind. And then secondly, crisis because of a deceitful heart. And then third, conflict because of a defiant will. You see here in chapter 16 and verse number 1, what happens? Very easy for us to see. Instead of faith thriving, flesh triumphs. And that causes confusion by a double mind. There is a problem here in this story. There is a problem in verse number 1. Abram wanted a child, but his wife bare no children. That was the problem. Simply the lack of fruit. God had promised Abram a seed. God had promised him that his posterity and his seed would be as the stars innumerable, as the sand of the seashore are without number. That's what God had promised unto Abram. But now he has no children. There is no children born. And so when faith fails, what happens? Immediately when faith begins to falter, you see the activity of the flesh. I want you to keep in thinking the verses of Scripture that I read to you in Galatians chapter number 4. And you, of course, will remember with me in the book of Romans chapter number 6 that the Bible said that the carnal mind is that enmity with God and it's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. I want you to understand with me, house of prayer, when we fail to operate by faith, then we begin to walk in the life of the flesh. Amen. And when faith fails, then begins the activity of the flesh. And when the flesh begins to work, there is always failure. When the flesh begins to work, there's always heartache. You and I must realize, amen, we've got to walk by faith. We've got to live by faith. We've got to trust God in the midst of the trial. We've got to believe God in the midst of the test. Will somebody shout amen? Have we got to walk by faith, lest I live after the flesh? Here's what happened to Abram. Because he failed in faith, he began to live in the activity of the flesh. And so here you have a husband that wants a child and a woman that cannot bear a child. And right there, among their very tents, is an attractive Egyptian girl. And so, having this problem, Sarah makes a proposal. And she proposes to Abram. She said, well, since God hath restrained me from bearing, she says, I'll just give you my maid. And you can take her to wife. And we will have children of her. Now this is heathen thinking. Of course, we on this side of grace, this seems most intolerable. Amen to us. But remember, they were on the other side of grace, and they were also in the land of Canaan among the heathen, and they lived by a moral code that I will not even try to pronounce. It's a very long $40 word. That was the code of Canaan. And there in that code of Canaan was the legal allowance that if a man took a woman to wife and she bare him no child, then he could take him another woman to wife and she could bear him children. He was legally able to marry her so that she could bear him a seed. That was the activity of the flesh. Is everybody going to stay with me and help me while I preach tonight? And Sarah said, well, if God's not going to do anything, we're just going to help God out. You know, many times if we're not careful, we will hearken to the voice of the flesh. The flesh said, faith has failed me. The flesh said, faith has failed me. It has failed me to trust God. I've waited on God 10 years. Here they were in the land of Canaan. So I read to you. I've been waiting this many years, and God has not sent me a son. I've been trusting God this many years, and my husband's still unsaved. I've been trusting God for this long, and it seems like I cannot get an answer. And every time we fail to keep faith, we begin to operate in the flesh. And when we begin to operate in the flesh, we, of course, reap failure. Oh, God, help us. Well, the Bible said in verse number 2 of Genesis 16, Abram hearkened. My friend, there's always the devil to pay. And there's always heartache to reap when we hearken to the voice of the flesh. There's always trouble somewhere down the road. Very frankly, where are we at? We've been here before. I was thinking of this earlier. I guess real early, long before day this morning. Sometimes it seems like that a church will go through an attendance slump. Seems like that for a time our altars are barren. Seems like that the saints receive help and the faithful are encouraged, but it seems like we're not having the fruit that we desire. Does anybody feel that burden? Amen. We long for those sons and daughters to be born into the kingdom of God. We long to really see a hell-shaking revival. We really want to see a move of heaven. We have loved ones that so desperately need God. Amen. And it seemed like we just cannot, live in travail and birth them into the kingdom of God. Amen. We know that they need God so desperately, but we cannot bring them forth into the kingdom of God. Will somebody say amen? And when we realize that it seemed like it's not going to come, and the devil has us convinced, oh well, that's just the way it's going to be. We may as well live with it. Beloved, I'm not satisfied to live that way. We must have revival. We must see souls saved. We must see a hell-shaking move of God. But here's what I want to preach to you tonight. We must not lean on the arm of flesh. We must continue to have faith in God. Amen. As long as we have faith in God, we lean on the spiritual. But when we resort to the activity of the flesh, amen, we're leaning on the arm of flesh. But my friend, when you resort to what the Spirit can do, you have results that only the Spirit can bring. But when you rely on the arm of flesh, you have only results that man can bring. But what we need is not what man can bring. We need what only God can send. And so we must travail, and we must hold out, and we must not allow our faith to falter. Somebody has got to believe God with the preacher. Somebody has got to believe God. Somebody has got to have faith, amen, that the children will come after a while. We've got to believe God that the promise will visit us if we'll be faithful to God. Amen. And so Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. He heeded to her proposal. And instead of waiting, worldly means were adopted and accepted, and they leaned on the arm of the flesh. But then there's the price to pay. Isn't there always a price to pay when we resort to the activity of the flesh? Have you ever been faced by a situation and before you knew it, you had done shot your mouth off and your brains wasn't loaded? Huh? You allowed the flesh to get involved? Huh? I want you to understand with me that our hands are too clumsy and the problem is too intricate. The best thing to do is let him that made the clock repair the clock. Many times in the problems of life, it's like taking a Stilson wrench or a crowbar to a timepiece. Our hands are too clumsy. Our fingers are too stiff. We don't have the ability to work within the minute mechanisms of life. And the best thing we can do is let he who made the clock repair his masterpiece. And only God can repair the human heart. Only God can repair the human life. And many times we want to go to this one and that one and another, and we want to give them a piece of our mind when we really don't have any to spare. Come on, help me while I preach. Amen. And we get so caught up in the activity of the flesh as if to think we can fix something. And the best thing we could ever do is put it in the hands of the Master and let Him fix it. Will the church say amen? And so there was a price to pay. Carnality always causes confusion. Here's rivalry in this home, domestic strife. You know, I'll say this for myself and then I'll go on. Many of our problems are nothing but the fruit of our impatience. Many things that we have to deal with in life is simply because we got impatient. And we just would not wait. Look here with me in verse 5. A crisis because of a deceitful heart. In verse number 5, Sarah said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. Crisis has come into this home. You see, my friend, it goes back to what Jeremiah said, and I've quoted many times, the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. You see, Sarah really thought she knew her heart when she come to Abram and she said, Abram, I know you want a son, and God has restrained me from giving you a son, so I'm going to give you Hagar, my maid, and you can marry her, and she'll bear you children. But she really didn't know her heart. And one man said, it is difficult to sustain a sacrifice that is made in the energy of the flesh. She was not operating in the spirit, but she was operating in the flesh. You see, faith said, God has given us a promise. But flesh said, well, the promise has not come, so we've got to help God out a little bit. God is not able to fulfill the promise. God is not able to do what He said He's going to do. I want to shout it in the mouth of hell that God is not on a crutch, and God's not on a disability program, and God's not failed. God is still alive, and He's still sitting on the throne, and He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God is able. I said, you've just got to wait on the promise. Live by faith, or you'll fail by flesh. But I've made up my mind. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe God to fulfill the promise. Well, there are two things I want you to see concerning Sister Sarah. The expression of her tongue, and then the explosion of her temper. She come to Abram and she said, My wrong be upon thee. That's just the King James way of saying, Abraham, this is all your fault. Amen. What that simply means is, she gave him a tongue lashing. She chewed him out. You know, isn't it sad that many times we vent our failures and our frustrations out on others when we ought to be talking in the mirror? I didn't figure nobody'd get up and shout. I mean, most of the time when we say things that are unkind, when we say things that are not charitable, when we say things that are unfair, many times we're trying to cover up from the frustrations of the flesh that are within our own lives. I'm going to have to buy some amens to get through with this tonight. The expression of her tongue. She just went and let old Abraham have it. My dear friend, Brother Larry Daugherty, he's been here back years ago. I never forget, if I lived to be 100, we was riding down the road one day. And he said, "Brother Chad, I need to ask you something." He said, "Does Sister Kathy ever get mad at you?" I looked around for a tape recorder. I figured this was Watergate or something, you know. It was on tape. I said, "Well, yeah." He said, "Oh, come on now, Brother Chad." He said, "I really need to know. Does your wife ever get upset?" He said, "I mean, does your wife just ever get upset with you?" I said, "Well, just between me and you, Brother Larry." I said, "Sometimes she does." I said, "Why do you ask?" "He's just a driver." He said, "Brother Chad," he said, "sometimes Barb gets cat-hopping mad at me." Well, amen, I'll add to the King James here. Sarah just got cat-hopping mad at Abraham. And not only the expression of her tongue, but the explosion of her temper. For in verse number 6, the Bible says that in regard to Hagar, that she dealt hardly with Hagar. Amen. She took it out upon the maid. Here was an innocent party. Here was a guiltless victim. Here was someone that was simply being submissive to her mistress. But because Sarah's heart was deceitful, amen, and Abram's heart was double-minded, amen, and you'll always find in Scripture, amen, that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Amen, it'll stop your blessing. It'll shut off the fountain. It'll stop God's blessings upon you when you've got a double mind and you've got a deceitful heart. And many times when faith falters in the church, when faith falters in human life, it's because there's something in our hearts that God's wanting to work out. God's wanting to do something in our life. And God's just saying, what you need to do is not try to work it out in your own mind. What you need to do is not try to work it out with the arm of flesh. But you need to trust me. Away with the double mind and away with the deceitful heart. Trust me and trust me alone. Well, I suppose all of us get upset. But you know, when we get upset, only what's inside comes out. If I had before me a jar of honey and I upset that jar, strychnine's not coming out. What's inside the jar comes out. If I upset a jar of honey, honey comes out. But if over here on my left I have a jar of vinegar or gall, and I upset that, honey cannot come out of that jar. You gonna help me while I preach? It's not the upsetting that determines the content. Oh, I wish I could preach a while. Amen. It's not the upsetting. Well, they upset me. They made me mad. They offended me. Well, bless your heart. When are you going to grow up? Amen. Just because somebody, amen, rubbed the cat the wrong way, do you think that gives you a license, amen, to spout off, amen, and romp and cuss and carry on? No, sir. Amen. Bitter and sweet can't come out of the same fountain. I wish you'd help me while I preach. Amen. Sure, there's going to be disappointments, and there's going to be heartaches, and there's going to be offenses. But woe unto him by whom offenses come. Make up your mind. I don't care what happens. I'm going to stay sweet in my soul. That's where, amen, if I get upset, honey comes out.